You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's broadcast. Yes, I know I don't sound like I'm at 100% full strength. We've got our team working on it right now. We should be restored by the top of the second segment here in just a few minutes. We had a little power outage here at the studio just minutes before the show was to take place. So everything is, all of our equipment is rebooting, and I had to call in the network via telephone to get this. It just goes to show, as we always say, that we are live, and we like to demonstrate that from time to time. Do we not, ladies and gentlemen? So here's what's going on. What we're going to do this evening is a midsummer review with two of PPC's mainstays, Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald, two old friends of mine, people, good men I've been working with for many, many, many years. And we're going to check in with Jared and Kevin to see how their summer's been going, what issues they have been monitoring, and what they would like to share with the audience. So just a refresher, a up-to-date assessment with our friends Jared and Kevin. That's coming up tonight on PPC. And then in the third hour, Sam Bushman and I will address an issue 7 months in the making. And a lot of people have been wondering about this particular issue and this particular person. And we are going to clear the air and clear the decks tonight and welcome back an old friend and one of the icons of TPC. But the first thing I want to do is talk about the fall of Papa John. So a few days ago, as you know, John Schnatter, the founder of Papa John's pizza restaurant chain, lost everything he had built up over his career. Now, he didn't embezzle money from the company. He didn't face felony charges. He didn't hire a hitman to whack his spouse so he could collect on insurance payouts. He didn't sexually harass an employee. He committed no crime. He didn't even espouse this, you know, any sort of objective criticism of blacks. What he did do was he cucked so hard that even his cucking was offensive to the anti-white race haters. He was trying to sympathize with alleged black victims of alleged white lynch mobs so pathetically hard that he cucked himself out of his own business. So here's what the score is. So he was having this conversation, Papa John was. This is Papa John Schnatter of Papa John. Having this conversation with other members of his top brass. Now, I don't know why a conversation about supposed crimes that happened decades ago would be something that you would talk about as you're trying to manage your pizza restaurant. But he cited his upbringing in Indiana where he said blacks were once dragged from trucks and killed. Now, he apparently intended for the comments to illustrate his opposition to such behavior. However, multiple individuals on the phone found the graphic nature of his statements to be offensive. This may be the first time I've ever seen someone cuck so hard they cut themselves to a firing. And what's interesting about Papa John was he is Papa John. Of Papa John's. even he was removed. He was the founder of the company, the head honcho. He also, of course, cucked even harder after that, started groveling, started apologizing. Oh, in any context, it's inappropriate to use the N-word. Even if you're denouncing racist behavior, there's just no place for it. Well, that didn't help you, did it, Papa? So I think my takeaways from this are, number one, cucking will never help you. Now, if Papa John had read Racism Schmacism, he could have at least left his company with a little dignity and self-respect. But now he doesn't even have that. Now he just looks pathetic to everyone on both sides. But more importantly, as Adam Gray writes for faithandheritage.com this week, this tale is so typical of the current year that it's really not worth going into any further. If you'd like to investigate the details, just do a quick Google search for Papa John, and you're going to get all the scoop and scoop of thousands of similar stories around the Western world. But what we need to talk about is the discussing of the alternative. We pro-white, sane Christians, we decry this hypocritical humanist stranglehold over modern morality today. What inspires us is both what we loathe, bizarre stories such as this one involving Papa John's, but also what we crave. We crave a world in which hardworking men and women can keep the fruits of their labor and their good names, no matter what the whims of the mob may be. We demand a world in which Europeans on the continent, across the globe, and in our other areas, such as the Americas, South Africa, Australia, can speak freely, dream freely, sing openly of our loved ones and of our losses, of our hopes and everyday issues as whites without fear of near universal condemnation. We seek a life in which our identity is at least as non-controversial as that of blacks, Jews, homosexuals, feminists, and socialists. We want a world in which our children can grow up and be proud of what and who they are, just like the children of any other race already can. We plan to walk on streets filled with the voices of our own native languages instead of unintelligible chatter from foreign shores. We aim for cities filled with businesses owned by our people, producing goods and services for our people, which can be traded with other peoples for the benefit of both. For the benefit of both. We seek to build neighborhoods and homesteads founded on our faith, on our European identity, and the values that our forefathers and mothers themselves held high. So as Adam Gray of Faith and Heritage concludes in his article, "Goodbye, Clown World, Your Time is Up. The time has come to build new European Christian communities is here in the once and future year." So we look at the situation involving Papa John, as ridiculous as it is, and it causes us to at once shake our heads in disgust and also dream of how we can make society healthy and sane and rational again. So as sick as things are here in America right now, folks, they are getting better by the day in Eastern Europe. I know we talk about this a lot, but you have to take a few red pills with the black pills. And I have found a story out of Europe that is so encouraging. It may be one of the most encouraging stories we've ever covered, and it's something that is happening right now in the present. It's taking place around us. These are the things, these are the stories of what's going on in healthy nations. We're going to talk about it with Jared Taylor when we come back. That's where we'll start our midsummer review with Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald coming up tonight on TPP. Stay tuned.
Week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right, go on, take her hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right, raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
Yeah.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, welcome back to the show, folks. We are still troubleshooting here. A little power outage just literally about 5 minutes before we went on the air this evening, and we had to do the first segment on the phone line, and our engineers are troubleshooting everything as we speak, and if it's not working well, we are back to near full strength. If it's not working well, then we're going to get I'm going to get Sam to call me back on the cell phone, and we'll just keep on trucking. We are live, unrehearsed, and uncensored here on TPC. And with that being said, we want to welcome back Jared Taylor. Jared, the editor of American Renaissance, of course, my good friend and yours, the author of several books that are all must-reads, including White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. We make mention of the fact quite often now when Jared appears that he is the most interviewed guest in the history of our 14-year program. But I was just looking at the calendar, and Jared, we haven't had you on since the night of the American Renaissance Conference. It's been almost 2 months, 2.5 months. That's nearly unprecedented.
I've been biting my nails, hovering over the phone like a teenage girl, waiting for you to call.
And indeed, that call came. Hey, I can remember those days. Those weren't fun days, but we used to worry about getting those calls from girls and et cetera. But anyway, Jared, it's great to have you back tonight. There was actually a story. I want to catch up, but one of the things we're doing tonight is I want to catch up with you and our other guest in the second hour, just sort of a midsummer review on the things you've been up to this summer, what's going on with American Renaissance, and some of the stories you've been monitoring and tracking, and also an update on the lawsuit against Twitter, which I know everybody will be interested to hear more about. Anything and everything that's happened within the last 2 or 3 months since we last spoke, we'd like to get an update on. But first, there was a story that I found, Jared, that I had intended to cover solo, but it was so astonishing to me, in a good way, astonishingly good, that I thought I would run it past you and your thoughts on it. Now, I have long said that the key to our survival may lie in Eastern Europe, where men are men and they care enough about our culture and our families, do something about the predicaments that we face. Have you heard? I had not heard of this man until just this week, but apparently he's been doing some over there for a while. He is the mayor of a small southern border town in Hungary. Hungary. He's a Hungarian border town. Aschadalom is the name of the town. He is Mayor Laszlo Toroszkai. Are you familiar with him?
No, No, I've not heard about him.
Well, listen to what's going on here. There is an article up by Newsweek, and it came out last year. And the headline reads, Anti-Islam Hungarian village says white nationalists from across Europe are welcome. Well, that's not exactly what the mayor said. Exactly what the mayor said is that he hopes to attract white Christians, Christian Europeans, opposed to multiculturalism to his town. Now, that doesn't sound quite as scary as village says white nationalists from across Europe are welcome. So you know how that works in the media. But here's what's going on. A village in Hungary that has banned Muslim dress aims to attract white nationalists from throughout Europe. The town of Aschadalom is located in a remote part of southern Hungary near the Serbian border, and it recently announced that it was banning mosque construction, echoing the language of President Vladimir Putin. The community has also announced a ban on homosexual propaganda. Now town mayor Laszlo Toroszkai has said the town hopes to attract other Christian Europeans opposed to more straight to this man's quotes, Jared. We primarily welcome people from Western Europe, people who wouldn't like to live in multicultural societies. Now, this is the former vice president of Jobbik. He now has his own political party, which has already elected candidates to the parliament there in Hungary. It's called Our Home. That's the name of the party. We wouldn't like to attract Muslims to our village, and this village is about 5,000, population of about 5,000. He goes on to say it's very important for the village to preserve its traditions. If large numbers of Muslims arrived here, they would not be able to integrate into the Christian community. We see large Muslim communities in Western Europe haven't been able to integrate, and we don't want to have the same thing experienced here. I like Europe to belong to Europeans. Jared, this is the mayor of a city. I mean, can you imagine? Yes, it's a small city. But he's still a mayor, and he's attracted international press, and he has not backed down at all. In fact, he's doubled down. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. Your reaction to that and what's going on in Eastern Europe, where I find more reasons to have hope each and every day, and this guy is number one on my list right now.
Oh, I agree 100%. The Eastern Europeans are very, very healthy. And it reminds me of the way we used to think about them back in the days when we used to talk about the Iron Curtain. We used to feel sorry for those folks on the other side of this terrible barrier, living under communism. Well, it turns out that was the best place to be. I mean, they paid for it at the time, but now they have been protected from the terrible poisons that have been inhabiting the minds of people in Western Europe and the United States. So, yes, the Eastern Europeans are, that's the only place, although we're gradually getting some of this in Austria and some of the Italian political parties too. But in Eastern Europe, you have government officials who come right out and say, yeah, we're Hungarian. Yes, we're Christian. Yes, we're white. We're European. And we want to stay that way. It's wonderful.
He previously released a video, Jared, this mayor, Laszlo Toroszkai. Maybe he'd be a great speaker at the next American Renaissance Conference. He previously released a video where he was surrounded by burly men dressed in camouflage. He warned refugees not to enter Hungary. The town has reportedly set up its own border patrols to complement government patrols that are already positioned along the border fence. Now, there's a website that we work with, Faith and Heritage. It's, they've got some good people over there. And one of their writer actually sat down with this mayor for an exclusive interview just a few days ago, and they asked Mayor Toroszkai, what are the main goals of your new party? Now, remember, this was formerly the vice president of Jobbik. He now has a new political party entitled Our Home, and as I said, they have already elected a member to parliament. And he writes, our goals are to win the election and govern the country, to change the European Union. We want an alliance of sovereign European nations. We want to preserve our culture, traditions, and religion. Hungary must remain a Hungarian Christian country, and we would like to see the same for every European country. We like the diversity of Europe, but not the mixing of the populations with other continents or from other continents. Of course, we are a nationalist party. We also fight against what he calls gender idiotism, which is now very strong in Western culture. We would like to do something about the Gypsy or Roma problem because these people can't integrate into Hungarian society. We would like to reform the tax system, which currently burdens the poor. We are fighting for those people who suffered at the hands of the banks. We have close to a million Hungarian people who had loans from the banks but were cheated. We will fight for these people who lost their houses and property. We would like to bring back the 1 million Hungarians who are working in Western countries for higher wages. Fortunately, the economy is getting better and the wages are rising in Hungary. We're also pleased that the government is now supporting families, a policy we would like to see continue, because as white people, we are not having enough children. Can you imagine the mayor of Memphis saying something like that? It is a big problem for Europe. We don't have enough workers. Our workers are in Western Europe. We need more people to work in construction and agriculture. Many young people have moved away. Many don't want to farm or work the land. I love to live on my farm. We want to develop agriculture. This is an exclusive interview that this mayor, Laszlo Toroszkai of Aszatlom, Hungary, gave to faithandheritage.com just last week. And again, they are already electing members to parliament. So we see all of these horror stories here in Western Europe and in, of course, the United States and Canada, Australia, South Africa. But there are places out there, and I think we have to be clear. And if it's not for Outlook like American Renaissance or this program, people wouldn't know that good things like this are going on in the world. There is reasons for our people to have hope.
Oh, yes, yes. I've had my eye on Eastern Europe for a very long time, what they call the Visegrad countries. That's Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. They're all very healthy, Mike, doing wonderful things.
Jared, hold on right there. We're kind of limping through here, not with content, but with some of our technical capacities. And I hear the music coming up. We're going to do a little more troubleshooting and come back. I'm going to let you finish that thought. Jared Taylor, Amlin.com. We'll be back in just a second.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1 pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, of course, folks, the motto of this program has always been no retreat, no surrender, no apology. But we do regret that we are having a little bit of technical difficulties right now and that our audio may not be as crystal clear as it normally is. But the show must go on. And, well, if it's going to go on, it might as well go on with someone like Jared Taylor. Always add so much class and dignity and sturdiness to any room he walks in. And we're talking to Jared. I was a little verbose in that first segment because I was trying to get out all of this information about this mayor of this city of village of 5,000 in Hungary. And Jared, we were talking just before that break about there are people out there doing this work, and there are people in positions of power that are doing this work, and the right is rising in parts of Europe, and that is extremely encouraging, even though the clouds still persist over America.
Yes. And Eastern Europe, as I say, has been pretty healthy, pretty clearly healthy. And it's been obvious that's the case ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union and much freer access to these Eastern European countries. And what it says to me is that here are white people who are expressing the natural sentiments and feelings of people of our race. They have not been corrupted by all of these artificial self-hating ideas that somehow diversity is a strength and then it's wonderful for white people to step aside and become minorities in their own country. This is the natural, healthy state of white people. And what we need to do in the United States and the rest of the Western white world is simply get back to this healthy, natural state by countering the propaganda and all of these wholesale poisons that have been flowed through our country and our society through broadcasters like you and publishers like me. That has been my life's work for the past nearly 30 years.
And stoking those embers, obviously people have to do that work, and we're still a long way away from having the highest-ranking elected officials speaking out the way that man did. And I think what he said was completely reasonable. It wasn't over the top. It was no more really what I read, those statements that he put forth that I just shared with the audience. I don't think it was any more or less than as perhaps you or me would have spoken them, Jared. So it is hugely encouraging that you have people who are sending members to parliament, mayors of town, speaking out in such a clear and concise and unapologetic fashion. But what I want to do with the rest of the time we have with you, Jared, which is about 7 or 8 more minutes, what have you been doing this summer? What's some of the latest must-read articles that Amrin has published? And, of course, the update on your lawsuit. I know you had some good news come forth from that front since your last appearance with us. So that's maybe a three-part question, but if you can remember everything, take it away.
Well, as far as the must-read articles are concerned, we now have staff writer Gregory Hood. I don't know if you've ever interviewed him on your program, but Hood is a great guy. He writes some of the most hard-hitting, thoughtful stuff in our entire movement, and he's now working full-time for us. And pretty much anything with the Gregory Hood byline is going to leave you shaking your head in admiration at his insights, at the way he puts different perspectives together in a really brilliant way. So that's been one of the big changes. He's been working for us for a couple of months now, and it's very, very satisfactory. It's wonderful for him to have a full-time berth. You know, he's one of these people in our movement. He's been kind of freelancing here and there, but now he can devote himself full-time to working for our people, and that's really a great plus for us.
Just want to interrupt you very quickly, to echo what you just said, is that I've known Gregory for many years. I just had an epiphany. I never did consider the fact that he would be available for interviews. I've never asked. I've known him for a long time, and I, of course, saw him at the most recent conference. And I said the same thing that you said. I was sitting with Gregory and with Sam Dixon and a couple of other people at our table, and I said flat out, I said, this guy is the best writer that our cause has. And I don't think that's putting it, that's exaggerating his talent.
No, you know, when the first book that was a collection of his pieces came out, the publisher, Greg Johnson, asked me for a blurb. And I wrote something like, Greg Johnson is unquestionably the best young writer in our movement. Heck, he's probably just the best writer, period. I think the range of his knowledge, his ability to explain things and draw arresting parallels and draw conclusions from the available data, I think is unparalleled. He's really a brilliant guy. And, I don't know. He may or may not. He may or may not be interested in coming on your show. But there's no reason not to reach out to him. I think he'd be happy to do it. But, well, you know.
We share the same friends. It's funny how that happens from time to time. But, no, he is fantastic. And it's just it's solidified. It just further strengthens everything that you're doing there at American Renaissance, which is already at the tip of the spear with regard to what our cause in America has to offer. And you only became more strong with the addition of Gregory Hood to your staff. So that's right. Anything he writes, if he is writing quite prolifically for Amarin.com, there seems to be new content coming out just about every week. And now also, Jared, let's find out what's going on in your lawsuit, because having had my own foray into the court last year, I'm always interested to see how others fare.
Well, as you know, about a month ago, we got the green light from the judge who said that Twitter's attempt to have our lawsuit dismissed was illegitimate, that their attempt to slap us with some sort of idea that this is a frivolous lawsuit and that we should pay their attorney's fees, he says, complete baloney, and he has set the grounds on which we can move forward to trial. Now, one of the aspects about this that is particularly interesting is that, as you know, once a trial has got the green light to move forward, you enter into what's called the discovery phase. And that means you have the right to ask for documents that they have to supply to you that are relevant to the case. And the case here, of course, is on what basis, what reason did they kick me and American Renaissance off of Twitter? What was the rationale that went into that? And we can also depose people. That means we sit them down, put them under oath, and ask them all sorts of questions and make them squirm. Now, I don't see any reason why we put them. They have come up with the idea that they can kick somebody off anytime for any reason. And our judge says, no, you don't have that right. And so it would be interesting to see to what extent, for example, the ADL or the SPLC are involved in telling them who to kick off and who to leave on. All of that stuff would be fascinating. But every bit about their internal procedures for getting somebody off, leaving somebody on, all that's going to be fair game. And I think it'd be fascinating to find out. And insofar as we are likely to be, the trial is to be in front of a judge who's already made this favorable ruling, I don't see how we have a chance of losing it on the grounds that on which this lawsuit is moving forward. It's very possible.
Well, Jared, congratulations on the preliminary success that you've had in your righteous pursuit of justice in this case. And congratulations on the addition of Gregory Hood to American Renaissance and all your good work. And I know that there will be more to come from this court case. This is something that will probably be evolving for the next year or more. And we will certainly be having you on quite regularly to provide us with updates. So a final word, we have just seconds remaining. I want to thank you again for giving us this Midsummer's report from the American Renaissance front. Final couple of seconds to you, my friend.
I'm hoping that my grandchildren will not have to learn Hungarian. I think that we will be able to... I mean, it's all very well. It's all very well for this guy to be saying, you know, come one, come all. You know, we are white Christian Europeans, and we want to stay that way. But I hope, that, of course, that we have an opportunity as Americans, maybe even as Southerners, to have our own place where we can be us, because only we can be us.
Well, you're 100% right, and Jared, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the same thing crossed my mind. I was thinking, well, if it all does go to pot, maybe me and my wife and the kids can move to Ashatalam and be welcome there
as the good people that we are. But at the same time, I mean, even though they are our cousins, the Hungarians, we do share a common denominator. They don't have the exact same story that our people have to tell in the American South. So, yes, I mean, it would be a lot to give up. But it's better to have an option than to not have it at all, than to face the gulags or execution on the street. So there is a silver lining there, should it need to be explored. But, no, we want what you want.
I see them as a model to imitate, not necessarily as a group to join. They should inspire us.
Correct.
We should do exactly the same here where we are for our own.
I agree. I agree 100%. You put a fine point on it, and you brought the entire interview back full circle to where we started, and that's always a good way to do it. Thank you so much, Jared, for all you do and for your friendship, and we'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure. Come on.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines. All day long
and or if not Loretta Lynn herself, she has a gift shop and a little tourist area up there. And Jack Ryan, for his segment tonight, has selected Coal Miner's Daughter for his intro music. Jack, why'd you do it?
I think it's a great song, and I like good music of a wide variety of sources. But it's also it ties in with my film recommendation of the week, Coal Miner's Daughter. In 1980, and it's a great movie. It's authentic, it's not very political, but it's a different time when country music was the authentic folk music that told regular stories about our people, and I encourage our people just to get hooked into good culture of our people, and everything doesn't have to be political. It's just it's great music, and the movie, surprisingly made in 1980, is just very accurate, and it's just a great movie, great song.
So our song and movie recommendation for the week are one and the same. That's what I'm gathering?
Yes, that is correct.
And, you know, it is hard to find things that are better now than they were when that song came out. And that's true across the board. There's just not much that's better today than it was then. Now, yes, you could say there have been some medical advancements and some technological advancements that we all benefit from.
Yes.
But it's stuff like that. I mean, that's improved. But culturally speaking, here in the West, not so much.
Country music is now, it seems to me, just kind of pablum. It doesn't tell stories about real people. And probably the entertainment industry is sort of the same across the movies and music industry. The same corporations run it. I don't know the inside exact story of who's the record biz people in Nashville these days, but it's not the great classic country of the 50s and 60s of Johnny Cash or Loretta Lynn or Patsy Cline. So we have that music, and we should appreciate it. And occasionally there's a good movie that comes out. And if you get the Netflix or something like it, the DVDs, you can get the great movies from the 30s to currently. I rarely see any movies in the movie theater or stream now. They're superhero, they're franchise, or they're just leftist, anti-Southern, anti-white movies. But if you get start a film club, do what the liberals do and just promote and see and review good movies, particularly encouraging our young people to watch that. They don't have to consume junk culture like we don't want them to consume junk food.
Well, we were talking just a moment ago. I agree, of course. There's been some technological advancements, some advancements in medicine that have obviously been wonderful. But for everything else, especially the arts, we have done. They like the progressives call themselves progressive, but we're not making progress. We're making the exact. We're going in the exact opposite direction of forward with regards to all of these things that are coming out. And it's true, not just of music with regards to the arts, not just the music, but the movies as well, of course, literature. Everything is worse now in the arts than it was in the 50s and 60s, and, of course, even before that, which is why, another reason why, we like to have Jack on to offer us these recommendations each week for people who are interested in film and literature and music, and that's just one of the services that he provides. So, we know that Coal Miner's Daughter is the name of the song and the movie recommendation of the week, and Jack just explained to you why that's so. Was there also a book, Coal Miner's Daughter, Jack, or do you have a different
No, I have a different book recommendation. It's specifically the book written by Robert Penn Warren, All the King's Men. It's a fictional account. It's based on the character Huey Long in the Depression, who became a governor of Louisiana. Very much a, what would you describe Huey Long? He was corrupt, and he was a machine person, but he was a populist and a demagogue, but he definitely took the side of regular poor Southern people, and he ran against the Standard Oil. And so I'm thinking at this time we need less honest business conservative people. We need some demagogues. We need some populists that'll go after the extremely rich, corrupt enemies that hurt our people. So that's what I'm looking. But Robert Penn Warren is a very interesting writer. He went to my university, Vanderbilt University, when it was a very different university than it is today. And he was part of the Southern Agrarians, and he defended Southern culture and Southern life. And so I'm highly recommending the works of Robert Penn Warren, specifically All the King's Men.
Fantastic recommendations this week, Jack. Not unlike any other, of course. You always do a good job on that research. Let's go to your theme of the week.
Well, that's my theme, is we basically need some populist demagogues. And I've told a lot of things of weaknesses about our people, that we hold on to loyalties of institutions that were once ours, like the Democratic Party that went over to the other side. But one of the other weaknesses of our people is we're so honest, we're so fair. And in this rough world where identity politics, where everyone else is working for their power and is attacking us, we can't be so nice. We can't be so fair. We need to have people that can win elections by promising things they can't deliver. We need some people who, you know, you want to say a demagogue, but we need some populist people that can get out, that can motivate the regular people, and they're just not so nice. Our enemies are getting away without being punished. We can't go to restaurants and eat without the staff contaminating our foods. That we can't go to a university and give a speech without Antifas and masks throwing bags of urine on it. And our side is always being fair and trying to talk about legal precedences and stuff like that. We got to get people that are able to fight in this type of world that we live in now and get down and dirty and contest the street, contest universities, media, and guys more like Huey Long. Yeah.
Well, Jack, I can't agree with you more, and it forces me to go back to a topic that I was exploring with. A story, rather, that I was exploring with Jared Taylor just a few minutes ago. I cannot overstate, and I cannot reiterate enough, the example of this mayor of this city in Hungary, Laszlo Toroszkai, who has said flat out, we want this city to be white Christian and white Christians only. We don't want immigration. We're not going to have refugees. We're not going to have Muslims. He has banned mosque building. He wants to preserve his city exclusively for white Christian Hungarians. This is the mayor of a town. And not only that, he is the leader of a party in Hungary called Our Home, who is a party that is already sending members, its candidates to parliament. Now, why do I bring that up for the third or fourth time this hour? Well, it's just like Jack said, we've got to have people go out and do these things. And you say, well, we can't do it here in America. Yeah, they can do it in Hungary. We can't do it here in America because the media is against this. And somebody might call us a racist and somebody might unfriend us on Facebook. Folks, were getting murdered by the tens of millions. White Christian Europeans were being murdered by the tens of millions in Eastern Europe. And if they could overcome that and be the key to our survival as it stands right now, we can overcome the challenges that are pale in comparison over here. Do you agree, Jack?
Absolutely. And that's not the same thing as we don't want people to be reckless and lose their jobs and families. And that is an issue. And our enemies, particularly, they use the tactic of doxing there. But our people need to toughen up, and we need to study the tactics that liberals and leftists use. Like, I recommend reading the book Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, and he looks about the tactics that they use, that they work. And basically, we do have to get toughen up, whether it's in taking a boxing class, mixed martial arts, or what I did. The best thing I ever did in my life is I was a public school teacher in Brooklyn for 2 years. And every day, talk about worried about, getting called a name. I got called terrible names every day. I had to face 30 kids. And after a while, you just toughen up. And it's just, you're not going to break down and cry and start bawling because somebody called you a racist or said you were politically incorrect. And we've got so many conservative sissies, a lot of them in churches, and they like to have a soft, easy life. And the first time anybody gets in their face and yells at them, they'll back down. And we've got to toughen up. And then they support all these terrible wars. Like they're bombing people left and right. They're bombing our kinsmen, the Serbs, to create an Albanian Muslim enclave in Kosovo. And it's not some bad conspiracy of secret people meeting. It's people like Paul Ryan and Orrin Hatch and Mittens Romney that have managed to go along and always wear a suit and a tie and always agree with whoever in the room with them at the same time. And
One of the biggest warmongers that we have is Miss Lindsey Graham. And I want Lindsey to lead the next charge. You know, anybody that wants war so bad ought to be willing to go fight in it themselves. That's the way I see it, and I truly believe that. But I want to we're running out of time, and I want to echo something you said a moment ago, because you're right, and we need to be fair. The threats that we face here in America are real. They are real. Doctors are losing a job and all of that's substantial. But people who have faced far worse than that are doing far better than us.
Sure.
And that's an example that we also should follow. Jack, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks so much.
Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.